Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, love my lies. Feline, with a death wish. Be right, didn't help. No name on the guest list. Hold on, I'm destined.
Welcome to the show, and let's pose a question and see what type of person you are. So, Sean, I'm aware, I believe that you get ESPN updates from their app, the notifications to your phone. Is that what happens? So
yes,
you don't have to check to see if big news is happening. You'll get an update on it. I don't do that. So if big news happens, I have to be on Twitter or check a particular site or whatever. So are you or people you know on KD Watch? Like, do you feel the need to check to see if a trade has gone down? Or are you at the point where it's like, with all these things, when it happens, it happens. Like, you know.
Well, it's just like the trade is going to find me.
Yeah, you know? Don't need to find it.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think we're at officially too many updates.
I would agree.
Where it's just every reporter has every different, like, this guy and this guy in this deal. But they're not going to give up this guy. But the Suns, they don't like this package. I'm just like, oh, my God. Obviously, the Suns don't like any of the packages. If they did,
the deal would already be
done. His ass would have been traded already.
Yes. It's been a foregone conclusion since they put him on the market back near the trade deadline that a trade was going to happen.
Like, we get probably, three updates that feel relevant to the Rockets probably every day. And that's just the Rockets that get seemingly relevant updates, although I'd push back on how many of these are actually relevant. These just seem like they're, I don't know, reshuffling the words on previous reports. It's just like, yeah, okay, we're still in the Jabari Smith stage. Okay, we're arguing over Jabari Smith and the 10th pick with Jalen Green.
Well, we know, at least what we're told, is that the teams on KD's list aren't anywhere near giving up what the Suns, or at least offering what the Suns want. And the Suns are hoping that KD will warm up to the possibility of playing in Minnesota, which he doesn't care for. He doesn't want to spend the last couple years of his career, at least we think the last couple years, in Minnesota. So we are where we are. Rockets, Heat, Spurs, not giving the Suns what they want. And it all starts with Jalen Green, or I did see where it could be Dylan Brooks plus cheaper contracts like Jabari, and maybe you're throwing in a Reed Shepard and a pick, which is not anything the Rockets are offering, just random speculation to see when you talk about the financials of making it work. I don't think the Suns are going to walk out of negotiations thinking they got good value on the trade because of what they did. Back in February, they put themselves in the spot where the leverage they do have is we can trade them anywhere. The leverage they don't have is people don't believe you. Oh, well, if the news out of Minnesota is they are unwilling to break up their core when they have the option of either Julius Randle exercising his player option or re-signing him to a long-term deal, they don't want to do that with a thought in mind of trading Julius Randle with KD saying, nah, I don't really want to be there, so I'll stay here for a year, then I'll leave. That's the hesitation for Minnesota. They don't want to give up anything for a guy who doesn't want to be there. So they are hoping Toronto gets desperate. I can't imagine why Toronto would make a move.
But at a certain point, if I'm the Suns and Toronto's offering, like, quickly Barrett in the ninth pick, which apparently they are.
Allegedly.
Yeah. I'm just like, no, take that.
Yeah. What are we talking about? On the table, other than a hypothetical or an alleged fear of what you do to piss off KD, which why would you care about that at this point? But it's always, can you send a player where he doesn't want to go? Well, we've seen it. Yeah. Luka wasn't asked, and Damian Lillard asked out, and they didn't send him to a spot. So there is a precedent now where you can do that.
You're actively trying to trade Bradley Beal,
yeah,
and he won't let you. Like, yeah, so you're already like, hey, you don't want to piss off too many players. Or like, you're already doing it.
Well, Bradley Beal apparently is a unique individual where it's like, I understand. There's a no trade clause for a reason, so I'm staying. I get you may not want me, but I don't mind coming to the facility knowing people don't want me here. I'm good.
Yeah.
And look, the Suns have new management as far as decisions are being made because Isaiah Thomas is a part of it now.
Nice. Love that.
And also they have a new coach, so maybe Bradley Beal will love Jordan Ott and things will work out. But as far as where the Rockets stand, I know there's hesitation to make a trade for some. I don't feel the same way. Because this utopia where you keep all seven of your young players and it all works out, they all stay, and you win several championships with them, I would say the Thunder are in a death struggle with the Pacers to win their first, and they're supposed to be the team with the brightest future. And if not for a Game 4 win, the Thunder are probably not winning a title with an MVP and all that young talent around them. It's not easy, man. So if you think you have a real opportunity – maybe you take the risk and give up a couple guys to make the deal work. Even if you think they are guys a season or two away from turning into stars, and then that is a Jalen Green assessment for some. That doesn't mean it has to be here.
Yeah.
And if you win a title, Kevin Durant, and everything's a risk. I get it. It's an if. There's no guarantee. Someone called and said, if you can guarantee me, yeah, of course. No one can guarantee you that it's going to work out perfectly.
In fact, where I'm closer to guaranteeing you that, like, no matter what you do, you won't win.
Yeah.
like that's more likely.
That's actually more likely that you won't win a title no matter what decisions.
You can choose either path. You can include whoever you want in these trades. There's a good chance that just, like, you never, you know, you make the West Finals. You know, like,
yeah.
That's just where it ends. But,
Ask the Pacers of the early aughts when they were running up against the Heat and LeBron's team and all those conference finals they made. And they were like, you know what? We really want to be the one seed because we won home court advantage. Turns out the Heat beat you in six. So things like that happen. Or just look at your own recent history. The Rockets were one of the only teams who decided, yeah, I know the Warriors are in the league and they've got KD, but we're going to go after them. And you're Chris Paul. Hamstring away. Things like that pop up all the time. And then after Chris Paul gets hurt, James Harden thinks he can't win with him anymore. So that one seed has one more season together before they break it up. These are how things turn in the NBA. So I would say if you like the package as far as what you have to send out and it's not crippling, do the deal. And Jalen Green would not be the one stopping me from making the KD trade. I'll take the window of 2 years, the risk of could he get hurt? Sure.
Yeah.
Could your starting shooting guard score in single digits in a series? Because we've seen that happen. So we know that's not a hypothetical. So these are the risks you want to balance out, and you think Jalen Green's a year away from becoming Tyrese Halliburton or Shea, guys who were traded too early, or he could be Anthony Simons, who was a fine player at age 22, and it's kind of the same guy at age 26. These are the conversations the Rockets have to have.
And that's why – that's honestly why I'm more okay with – well, that's part of the reason. I'm okay with trading, like, the Jalen and Jabari package as opposed to including Reed Shepard in it because, A, like, we've already seen these guys play for years. Like, we have a better idea of their potential and what heights – they can reach because just chances are it takes longer for you to break out. It's not going to be as big of a breakout. And then also you're going to be a pretty expensive team and Jabari Smith needs to get paid, either this offseason or next offseason. Mm-hmm. He needs to get his second deal. Jalen Green is starting his second deal this year, whereas Reed Sheppard just finished his first year in the NBA, where I would rather just keep the young guy who, hey, let's see. Let's just see if he can be the sixth man for this team, as opposed to keeping Jalen or Jabari and be like, we're paying you $30 million a year to see if you can finally realize your potential when you got drafted. Like, it's just a harder thing to do.
Yeah, and while the thought of trading Jabari and Jalen may feel like too much, we're going to come back with sound to tell you that the Spurs are asking for quite a bit, and they may not think Jabari and Jalen is enough. So we'll play that. We'll get into the Astros, walk off for the A's. The A's, I won't even say they're fans, just the people watching the game in Sacramento, had some smoke for Altuve. He responded with a home run. But I get it. I get why he got booed. We'll talk about that when we come back, and then we'll talk about a great play from a man. If you just looked at him, you'd assume that guy's not capable of that at third base. Well, he is, and he's a guy who's an injury replacement for the Astros. And look at that, another guy having a fill-in for someone who gets hurt. And speaking of people getting hurt, Lance McCullers at it again. We'll talk about that as well. So we're just getting started here. If you want to get in, you can, 713-780-3776. Late in yesterday's show, Apollo called in and asked what shows I was looking forward to, so we'll get to that. Michael Carroll won't be here Thursday or Friday. Normally it's Friday, but if he's not here on Friday because he's out, he will come in and join us on Thursday. Can't do that either. He's out both days, so he'll join us tomorrow. So he'll have a list of things you should get ready to watch this summer. I'll have my list today as Apollo produced a segment for us at the very end of yesterday's show. Now, that did follow him insulting a guy who was very complimentary of me. So that's just the vibes of the show. You guys get it. But if you want to get in, as I said, 713-780-3776. We'll come back with what the Spurs are asking for, or at least what the Suns are asking of the Spurs when it comes to compensation for a potential Kevin Durant trade. Maybe it makes you feel better about a potential KD Rockets trade, or maybe it feels like, maybe it makes you feel like the Suns are out of their minds. Either way, you'll hear that when we come back.
This is ESPN 97.5. Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So, multiple teams involved in a KD trade. You know, kind of what the Suns may want from the Rockets, considering they've already reached out to see if they could move Jalen Green after they acquired him. What are they asking for from the Spurs? Now, people have proposed what the Spurs could give up, assuming that the Suns wouldn't be so bold as to ask for certain other things. Well, according to Zach Lowe, he has a podcast. He was doing this one with Kurt Goldsberry. Like Zach Lowe, one of the now formerly of ESPN, one of those guys who kind of has a great approval rating. I know, I mean, you can find the stray person who doesn't like him, but from what I can tell, I haven't heard many people go, oh, Zach Lowe, that a-hole, for his sports takes. He feels like someone immune to that. Well, here's a reporting on what the Spurs may have had to deal with when it came to negotiating with the Suns.
I know our friends in San Antonio think the price is too high. And in the original discussions, including the number two pick and or Stephen Castle, are not going very well on the Spurs end of the telephone. I can tell you that.
So there it is, asking for the rookie of the year and maybe the number two overall pick, which could be a Dylan Harper type.
And or.
It could be both. It could be one of the two. But either way, the Suns at this point, and this is what negotiating is, you're trying to get the best offer. That's why you'll have a Suns insider out yesterday discussing why a certain team's trade package is weak or their players are soft or whatever, whether he is doing the organization's bidding or just relaying what they're saying, who can say? But either way, if you think Jalen Green and Jabari Smith are too much, the Spurs certainly think giving up their second-year guy coming off Rookie of the Year and maybe the second overall pick is too much.
I would agree with them.
So would I. So at this point, it's wait and see. And whether you have a news alert on or not, as Sean said, that trade will find you in some way.
I mean, we get updates about every single aspect from every single team. Like, when he actually gets traded, it'll just be more than likely a Shams tweet.
Sure.
And boom.
And then we'll get the autopsy about why the teams who were involved didn't get the deal done.
And then, do you think that our initial reaction is going to be, that's it? Because I'm starting to think that it's going to be, that's it. Territory.
It's set up. We're setting up for the Suns being ridiculed for their lack of recouping assets. We're setting up for that. They'll get compared to what they traded him for and then what they got for him. Like, all you got was Harrison Barnes, the 14th pick. You couldn't even get Sohan out of it. It'll be that type of thing. You got to take on Zach Collins. Is he still under contract there? Either way, it'll be that type of stuff. God, where
not even Keldon Johnson?
Yeah, and a pick swap in 2033 or whatever.
How does the money work on this?
Yeah.
The Spurs didn't give up anything.
Yeah, so that's what it'll be. Like, we're into the Bulls got what? Or the Kings got what for De'Aaron Fox? We're in that territory, it feels like, for the Suns.
Yeah, because it seems like the Spurs are not – it seems like the three teams that are the preferred destinations are just like, we're the preferred destinations.
So. And we would like them.
Yeah.
But we're not desperate for them.
Yeah, we're also – I mean, two of the Rockets and the Spurs, they're both like, well, our best player is 23 years old.
Yeah.
So –
now, you would think the team...
We're not exactly dying to make this move.
You'd think the team in South Florida go, well, our decision maker's four times older than the Spurs' best player, so maybe he would be more desperate to make the move.
But he doesn't have the scratch.
Yeah, and even...
Actually, he probably does have the scratch.
For this trade, he just doesn't want to give it up. He's got picks, and he can give you a talented young big man. And still, even still, nah, not for me. We'll see.
I think this goes to show just, like, what realistically to think about Kevin Durant at this point? That the fact that the entire league is just like, I mean, he's cool. You know?
We'd love to have him, but not at any price that keeps us from doing other things or just keeping our roster together. So that's where we are. And as Sean let you know, it'll find you. And if it finds us first, we'll let you know if the trade does go down.
Again, the second it happens, like
it'll be everywhere. We'll be talking about it. And particularly if the Rockets get a deal done, which at this point, from the Rockets' side, they're reporting there, at least as of yesterday, unlikely that the Rockets and the Suns will come to a deal because the Suns are asking for too much for a guy they kind of have to get rid of because they put themselves in a bad spot. Okay, so let's move to what happened last night in baseball. The Astros lose one in Sacramento. It's weird to say still, but it happened in Sacramento. And while Altuve hits a home run, he got booed. And we'll get into the great play at third by someone you may not have known was an actual Astro until recently. But Altuve getting booed by people enjoying a baseball game in Sacramento, and I put it that way for a reason because I think half of those people at least aren't A's fans. They just think, hey, a Major League Baseball game is going on. Let me check it out. And that's part of the reason I think he got booed. It's their first time they had an opportunity to boo him. I'm sure there are people in Sacramento who made their way to Oakland for a game or two, and maybe it was an Astros game. But for the most part, how many of those people have seen the Astros in person since the cheating scandal? This was their chance. Yes, way late. Everyone's over it. But for them, and considering Altuve still gets booed, I am not surprised he caught it in a new city. It's our first time to yell at that cheater. And, of course, they haven't learned the lesson of when you boo him, what happens to you. But they're not A's fans anyway. What do they care? They don't care if he hits a home run against the A's. They're not fans of that team. They're a way station for the A's. A stop on that eventual trek to Vegas whenever the hell it happens. So I am not surprised they had smoke for him last night. And if some team decides to move to Austin and they have to sit in San Antonio for a year or two, those people will boo him too. Although that's more likely. That's actually not as – it would be less surprising then because, well, it's Texas, the Astros in Texas. Probably a bad example. But either way, if you're a new baseball city and you haven't booed Altuve yet, you'll do it.
Yeah.
He's been in every ballpark since the scandal, right? That's just how it goes. Yeah. So everyone's had their opportunity. The Sacramento fans are just next up. I don't think don't remember it happening in Tampa, but that's not that far away from St. Petersburg anyway. So if you're a Rays fan, you already had your opportunity to boo him. Let Altuve play a game in New Mexico. He'll get booed there too.
Oh, when they played in Mexico City, did he get booed?
I don't remember that. I don't know if that happened. I can't speak to what the international audience thinks of Altuve.
They played in the
when they play the Rockies there, was that?
Yeah, they played the Rockies there. No, when the start of the season. Oh, when they play in Japan. I forgot what it was called. But yeah, the Japan series or whatever they call it, when you play two regular season games a week before anyone else
does.
Like
the Dodgers have done that, yeah.
Yeah, it just gets booed in
Japan. I don't know how the international baseball audience thinks of what they think of Altuve. But the American fan, new city, he's getting booed. Just, I think that'll be it. Now there are very few new cities. If he's still around when the Vegas A's exist, he'll get booed there too. Everyone needs to get it out. Let it out. Does he get booed today? I kind of
probably less so.
But that's where we are. He is the face of it. Unfortunately, just gonna have to eat that. And the fans who get upset are just gonna have to eat that. Take out your frustrations on new MLB partner John Boy. John Boy, if you missed that story, John Boy and MLB are partnering. He will now have access to Major League Baseball IP, which means if he wants to grab an Astros clip, he's got access to that, stuff like that. So that story maybe broke last week. The guy who put the bullseye on Altuve most prominently is the guy now partnering with Major League Baseball. So that's good stuff. You know, and try to embarrass and flat out disparage one of your greatest stars. Yeah, let's team up with them. Okay. Nice job. I guess digitally he's a big deal. I don't follow him or anything. I don't go to any of his social media channels, but I assume John Boy Media is still popping. So MLB saw an opportunity and they invested in that man in that company. Traitorous ass Major League Baseball.
A traitor?
Yeah.
That implies that they're ever on the side of the Astros.
It's true.
That implies that they were actually worried about rooting out every single team that stole signs and every single player that stole signs. That implies they're interested in that to start with.
The man.
Not just like,
the
hey,
man
you guys.
Pushed a rumor of a buzzer. Only backed up by the fake niece, was it?
Yeah.
Of Carlos Beltran. And they're like, you know what? We want to be in your business. Cool. Baseball's always been hypocritical. Just another example of it there.
Yeah. Yeah. The steroid era, let baseball tell it, was a scourge upon the sport. So bad that none of those guys can make the Hall of Fame. But the commissioner who presided over it, come right in, Bud C-League. if the steroid era was actually that bad, you wouldn't let the commissioner in.
It's true. Or not, because he will say, look, I tried to fight it. We just couldn't root it out in time.
Mm.
Sure, we took advantage of the Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa summer chase, which shot so much energy into baseball as we were trying to figure out ways for people to care. Chicks dig the long ball commercials, but steroids bad.
Yeah.
And Altuve worse, apparently. And the Astros, just an awful, awful organization. And yet, still the best team in the ALS, and we'll see how they do as we get closer and closer to the playoffs, which is, at this point, are a long way away. But let's play the clip. It was a highlight of the game yesterday. The Astros go down 3-1. No, it wasn't the back and forth between them and the A's, the Jacob Wilson stuff. It's this guy. Had you heard of this guy before a week ago? I'm asking the general you, not you, Sean. I would be surprised if just a casual Astro fan knew this guy existed, but he does. And let me introduce you to your newest third baseman.
For three innings. That one a looper. Can Guillorme get back there? Still going. What a play by Luis Guillorme! Unbelievable acrobatic catch in shallow left field. He went tumbling and hit the ground hard. And Mauricio Dubon just watched one of the better plays of the season defensively.
We are seeing some spectacular.
He's a longtime Met, played for the Angels as well and the Braves. Most recently was Arizona. Just started with the Astros. He made a great play. You look at Luis Guillorme, and you don't think superior athlete at third base. But, hey, if you got it in you, you got it in you. And he made a great play as the Astros at the time were up 1-0. And who was on the mound? Ryan Gusto. Why was he on the mound? Because Lance McCullers sprained his foot in a non-baseball activity. So he got scratched. Gusto pitched, and Gusto can pitch well. And it was enough until it wasn't. And Abreu gives up the two-run bomb to the A's. Big-time bat flip. The A's win 3-1. But Luis Guillorme, who is an injury replacement, did a nice job over there. We'll see how many opportunities he gets to make big plays or defensive plays. So Paredes, been a really good defensive third baseman, and obviously the bat has certainly picked up, and he's done a good job there. And now you got Luis Guillorme, who can make a player to himself. So the Astros have done pretty well when it comes to finding guys who can play third. And we know Bregman before these two was a Gold Glover in his final year at the Astros. So you drop a game, you got a highlight out of it, and the Sacramento crowd had smoke for Altuve. So as far as a 3-1 game, a lot went on in that one.
But I was also,
but of course, let's not lose the A's today.
Yeah, I was surprised by the level of pyrotechnics that Sacramento has, and the level of like, oh wow, when they walk off a game, like they flicker the lights, and it gets dark when they flicker the lights. I guess because it's a minor league ballpark, so there's less lights. Mm-hmm. But I was like, whoa, they really went all out with the, walk-off celebration in the stadium. The game ops people were like, we're not minor league anymore.
You got to show out. Now, will Sacramento ever have an opportunity like this again? Unlikely. So when you do have it, I think I like the beam. You can't let Sacramento, the Kings, have it all. You got to put on your own type of light show.
Yeah. They should have a beam.
A green beam shooting into the air when the A's win a game?
It's just a Sacramento thing.
Yeah, this is just what they do. It's just what they do. I'm sure Sacramento State has a beam as well when they win football games. Who famously coached there? Like, I think, or was it Portland State? They had a coach who had a big name who went and coached. I forgot. Maybe it was Portland State. But either way, if you go to Sacramento, expect a light show if their teams do well.
Sacramento State's GM is Shaquille O'Neal.
Patty Mills is a GM someplace, too, now. I forgot where that was.
St. Mary's?
I don't think so.
Oh, no. Is it Hawaii? Because he lives in Hawaii.
It is. Yeah, Patty Mills.
That's when I learned that Patty Mills lives in Hawaii.
Yeah, I did not know that. Good time to be. It's a good life to be Patty Mills. You get, you can be one of those buyout options for a team, or maybe you're just floating around out there and someone needs a backup guard who doesn't need to play. They'll call you in. You wave your towel.
Yeah.
On the bench, maybe get a couple minutes when a couple guys are out, and then once the season is over, you got no ties. You're generally not on a playoff team. Head right back to Hawaii. Not bad.
Make some phone calls, get some boosters on the line.
Yeah, make sure you send
some offers to a 3-star.
Make sure, hey, what, you don't want to come on live on the island? It's a long way away, but I went to Hawaii once. And, of course, when I got there, the threat of a hurricane. So, didn't hit that island, but it came close to another. I went to Honolulu, which is where the main Hawaii campus is. If it wasn't so, obviously, so far away, but you would think they could build a better program in a lot of sports. Right? Just, hey, if you're a 3-star Californian kid who maybe doesn't want to spend 4 years at Fresno,
yeah,
or San Jose, but not someone USC is going to recruit, or one of the other major powers in that area will recruit, at least on the West Coast. Now, recruiting is now national. You don't want to spend 4 years in Hawaii? I know.
They really need to refine the pitch of, you don't really want to see your family that much. Come on.
Yeah. In the game we're currently playing in Dynasty, there is a deal breaker where, hey, I want to be close to my family. You can't recruit those guys. But if you can recruit guys, you're like, look, mom's always on my ass. I want to get out of here. We hear a lot of recruiting stories where the guys are like, I got to get away from this place. Mom sends me away because this isn't the best environment. What's better than sending them to Hawaii? No one's going out there to bother them. Hawaii, pick it up. Hawaii's got to just recruit kids in bad situations. No one's going to fly out here to get you.
Or kids that have very strict parents. Where you're like,
but will the parents sign, like, if you're not 18, the parents have to sign the paper. Will the parents allow them to go to Hawaii because they can't keep hold of them? That's too far away. It's a delicate balance.
Yeah, you need 18-year-old. You need to be 18 years old by signing day.
Yeah, kid, and you got to have a kid who is looking to leave the nest.
Yeah,
who would like nothing better than to get away from his parents. Hawaii is a place for you. Oh, don't you want to see me play the game? Every game's on TV.
Yeah. NIL, well, I can cover the ESPN Plus subscription.
Yeah. Mom, I gotcha. Patty Mills will float me a couple bucks.
Whatever it is. $9.99 a month.
Yeah, we'll get you on ESPN Plus so you can watch all the games. All right, we'll go to break with that. If you want to call in, you can, 713-780-3776. We'll get into what happened in the finals last night. Sure. When he wasn't playing solitaire, Stephen A. Smith was looking at what was happening to Tyrese Haliburton and was like, I told you, I'm going to be here a long time. I'm going to have plenty of opportunities to take my shots at you, even if you think I'm not great for the game. So after game four, Tyrese Haliburton had things to say about people who cover the game. Stephen A. Smith took offense. Tyrese Haliburton struggled, partly due to injury, partly due to performance. And now the Pacers are one game away from being eliminated. And on the positive side, OKC is one game away from winning their first title in that city. All right, we'll talk about the finals and other things when we get back. But first, I want to tell you about Aqueduct Plumbing Company. It's a place you go to when you got a problem with your plumbing. It's pretty simple. You don't know how to fix it. Maybe you don't even want to try to fix it because you know it would be a disaster. You go to the people who can prevent a disaster from happening. It's the people at Aqueduct Plumbing Company. Check it out. And all they have to offer at aqueductplumbingcompany.com. So it could be a big job like a repipe, or maybe you need a remodel, or it could be a small job like a leak, or you're replacing a fixture. They do that too. They have a handy service drop-down menu that you can check out and see all the things they provide. So whether it is something like a new water heater, traditional or tankless, or maybe it's like a drain cleaning that you can't take care of, they'll do that for you. You can call them at 281-488-6238. You get a free quote because why get charged for something when you don't know what it is? You just want to find out. They'll get that done for you as well. So big jobs, small jobs, jobs that you can't handle, it's all there for you at Aqueduct Plumbing. Just go to aqueductplumbingcompany.com. That's aqueductplumbingcompany.com.
Boot and Raid rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
We were talking in a joking way about recruiting. Well, apparently Memphis has a problem. It was a discussion earlier with the Morris Twins and Stephen A. Smith. NBA players don't feel safe in Memphis. That's why they may have issues attracting players who obviously they just don't draft. Now, Desmond Bane is out. He's going to live in a very different place. He's going to live in Orlando. They introduced him yesterday, at least the whole social media videos where they see him and he gets to put on a jersey. He's very happy to be in Memphis. Orlando.
To be out of Memphis.
Yeah.
NBA players, they feel safe in Orlando, right?
I mean,
I just want to know every while the Morris Twins are have
well, this was
on.
Stephen A. Smith's take.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't what they said.
Oh, so
I don't know which Morris Twin it was, but he said
the guy who isn't an NBA player was telling
he
you.
He said
how NBA player
they've
was
told him that.
Okay.
The guy, I don't know which Morris Twin it was. The twins is difficult.
One of them should wear a headband.
Well, one of them has different hair, But you mean a headband that says, I'm Markeith and I'm
yes.
Marcus?
Yes.
Whichever one it was said he would embrace living in Memphis. But apparently, it's scary to be in Memphis. And Desmond Bain got out of there, thankfully, safe and sound. And he can live in Orlando, just avoid the Disney adults, and he should be good.
All right.
But, yeah, that among other things, when he's not covering the finals, he'll tell you from his sources, being NBA players, that it's not safe there. And the Memphis authorities need to clean it up, or they're going to have a problem attracting players.
Is it like the city type thing, or is it like specifically like with the Grizzlies?
I think the
city. Because what I'm asking is, should they have to move the team?
Oh.
This is how you start down the road of like, we need to move a team.
I don't think I've ever heard of a team trying to float it out there that they need to move because the city's not safe enough. The Washington Wizards exist.
Well, I was thinking more of the NBA.
The Detroit Pistons exist.
The NBA is like, well,
get him out of Memphis.
Get him out of Memphis. Come on.
The Memphis experiment has run its course.
Yeah.
Let's get out of there.
Send him back to Vancouver.
Well, I'm sure that will work out.
We're bringing back the Sonics. Bring them.
No, they would send them to Seattle.
Well, I think they're expanding.
Are they just going to give them a new team? Okay. So we will be at 33 teams? No, 31 teams?
32. With Vegas.
Oh, yeah. When's that coming?
Adam Silver said last week that they expect to have like serious conversations over the summer about it. Like they're basically like their focus is shifting to that after the summer or during the summer. So
Vegas will become a force major sport town. Hockey, the Golden Knights in hockey, the A's whenever they get there, the Raiders, and whenever the NBA decides to move there as well. Okay. As far as a team who did move themselves, the OKC Thunder beat the Pacers last night. Haliburton struggled. I'm sure that was part of the conversation this morning.
He didn't feel safe in OKC.
Well, that's why James Harden asked out. He won it. Not
Lou
because
Dort's here.
Not because he. Well, yes, that's on the court. I don't think that's what's going on in Memphis. Oh, Salty Aldama's here. I don't feel safe. Don't think that's what's going on.
Scottie Pippen Jr.
According to, well, he's a bit annoying. Scottie Pippen Jr. is a bit annoying to play against. I will give him that. Had a pretty good season with the Grizz, but Pacers do what they do. After Siakam knocks down that shot, I'm like, oh no, this is happening again?
Yeah.
Is this happening again? And then it didn't because OKC went on a run, knocked down a three immediately, and then the Pacers turned the ball over a couple of times, which was an issue all throughout the game. So they dropped that one. 3-2. The question now, after Jalen Williams and his 40-point game, can the Pacers respond and will they be able to do it without Tyrese Haliburton if he's not ready to go? He says as long as he can walk, he can play. He'll have a couple of days to see if he can go with the calf. I saw a lot of people saying they were safer with him because of another calf injury that happened to a guy we discussed earlier in the show. When Kevin Durant had the calf, they put a lot of strain on him, and then he tore his Achilles. I don't know if that was crossing Rick Carlisle's mind. I think that may just be someone projecting, but it's the NBA Finals. It's an elimination game. How bad does it have to be to keep you off the floor? And will it be more a discussion about whether he's hurting his team as opposed to helping it, beyond as opposed to injury risk?
Yeah, that to me is the big thing. He's out there not doing nothing because he's trying.
He's just not capable.
Yeah, he's just not capable of doing anything. So that's where in the fourth quarter, the thought crossed my mind. Should they just put in T.J. McConnell for Tyrese Haliburton?
Who was having a great game.
Yeah, that kind of led the comeback in the third quarter.
Yeah.
I just crossed my mind. I know that's something that NBA teams don't do. Even Rick Carlisle, won't do that. But it did cross my mind.
Yeah, they normally, if your guy tells you he can go, they won't bench you because you are a little banged up. Sometimes they'll bench you because you stunk on the night. That happens. And you could say he did stink.
Yeah.
But that was more due to injury, so they'll give you a shot to see if you can work through it, I guess. But should T.J. McConnell have gotten 35 minutes last night as opposed to the 22 he played? There is a discussion to be had. Of course, the opposite of that, or the pushback on that is T.J. McConnell is good in 22 minutes. You give him 35, and then you start to see the warts.
Yeah.
Maybe consistently, but a night like last night, maybe you up those minutes to 30, you give him more time because of what he was doing.
I was going to say, I was okay with them going to Halliburton in the fourth quarter. It's just when it, like, obviously isn't working and you're having to run things through Nimhart, who keeps throwing the ball to Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, then at that point I'm like, all right, come on. Like, we can't be doing this.
Yeah.
The whole reason that he's playing, that Halliburton's playing, what's the reason that you're okay risking further injury with Halliburton? Because it's the NBA Finals. It's the NBA Finals. Like, I can't be doing this with a guy that I'm like, I think he's too hurt to be effective. And I have T.J. McConnell right there who was insane in this game. It's like if in game, what was it, 3? They're just like, all right, Ben Mathurin, enough. We've had enough of your buckets. We got to get Neesmith back out there.
Yeah.
Who's and in this scenario, Neesmith, who has a calf injury.
Yeah, it's just that Halliburton is your – it's not Neesmith.
I know.
He is your dude. And
I thought if anyone would do it, though, it would be
Rick Carlisle.
Yeah. But even Rick Carlisle.
Even he didn't have it.
Like our best player? No.
It's kind of how it's always been.
I would say Siakam won finals, East Finals MVP. Just saying. Who's Batman? Who's Robin?
You're the only one asking that question.
No. I'm sure one of the Morris twins are saying that right now on First Take.
Now that show's over for the day, right? It would have to be a replay, right? So maybe if I turn it there.
Yeah, DVR it.
and see what Morris twins said something.
It's Tyrese Halliburton after a bad game. Someone has to say he sucks. All
Someone
right?
has to say he's not as good as we've seen him to be because that's just how those shows go.
Game 6, he has a good game.
Then he's back to being really good.
Yeah.
Then all the pressure will turn to Shea.
Yep.
You can't
fraud
blow three.
MVP.
You're a 68-win team. You're up 3-2. You can't blow this. That's how this will go.
J-Dub carried him in game 5. That's what they'll
say. You know, it's a problem for those shows when idiots like us can predict how it will go because of how predictable everything is.
Yeah. We've done this for a decade.
Yeah, we've seen them do this over and over again. We'll see what the narrative will be if the Pacers win game 6. And force a game 7, and all the pressure will be on OKC to validate their great year, because making the finals and going to game 7 isn't validation enough. You must win it all, or everything you did should be wiped out. Okay, we'll go to break with that. You want to get in on hour 2, you can. 713-780-3776 is the number. We'll do, at least I'll do, see if Sean has any shows in mind. We'll do shows I'm most excited about coming up here, prompted by Apollo, who called in yesterday. And as I said, Michael Carroll will join us to give his complete list tomorrow, because he's got a couple of days off coming up later in the week. So hour 2 when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.